Good afternoon and warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, walk in love. What it means is continue walking in love. It is a command, not an option. To walk in love is a very good picture to describe our life. Instead of using the phrase, live in love, walk in love is more precise in terms of the intent and what the Lord wants us to understand it to mean. When does a person stop walking? What does it mean to walk? When you walk means you are heading somewhere. You will come into contact with people. When you sit still and you are not with people, you are alone. So walking in love has the idea of impacting people, whereby your life is supposed to influence people for Christ. That's the meaning of walk in love. You are not to be a recluse. When you are seated, when you are at rest, when you are in your own bed, sleeping, in your own study, quietly reading and studying God's Word, you check your heart whether you have the love of God constraining you in what you are doing. But the walk in love has this implication already, that you're already constrained by the love of Christ, and only believers can walk in this love. If you're not a Christian, you can't walk in this love because the love of God has not been shed abroad in your heart. This love in this entire passage, including the word dear, dear children, is the same word for agape. Unconditional, sacrificial love. And therefore, we know that only believers can obey this injunction. Continue to walk in love. Not ever, ever stopping. As long as you are breathing, you must impact people by God's love. And that is what the Apostle Paul wanted the Christians in the church in Ephesus to realize and understand. After he shared with them what it means to put off the old man and put on the new man, all the many different elements of what it means to put on the new man in terms of your holy witness. But when it is not done with the right motive, which is love, please understand that when you live like this, as he had described, where you will not give place to the devil, where you will not be angry, and even if you do, you sin not, you do all these things, please do not expect a very nice, wonderful, equivalent kind of reciprocation. Just because you do not want to be angry with people without a just cause, and you do not want to sin while you're angry, that does not mean that the other party will not. The other party may get angry, the person may sin against you. You do not want to give place to the devil. That does not mean that the other person will not, that you're trying to help and reach out to. With all these elements, you know that if you obey all these things, then you should. But if your motive is not love, you can end up a very bitter and a very, very disappointed witness for Christ. Because you expect people to respond in kindness and goodness in the same way. They are not going to. And you do not and should not expect such reciprocal behavior from others. Because if you do so with this kind of expectation, you are first wrong in the first place. It's a wrong expectation. And you and I know how dangerous wrong expectations can become. Many relationships that end up quarreling, squabbling, and even severing the relationship because of poor or bad or misguided expectation. And that is why the apostle tells us, after he gave us this list, which hopefully all of us should put on and never take off, one by one, every piece, every stitch of the garment of salvation of holiness, keep it on. Let every stitch be based upon all these stitches that he has mentioned. But most important, your motive must be love. You do it because it is the right thing to do. You do it to them in kindness, in gentleness. Even if they spit on your face, even if they slander you, step you on the back, you don't do the same. You don't stop putting on your garment of holiness. That's why this phrase, walk in love, always, is so important. Read off the Facebook of someone, a doctoral in theology, taught in a Bible college, a teacher of God's word, completely disappointed and dissatisfied with Christ, with Christianity. His final page or final word on his account on the internet, I do not remember whether it was Facebook or some other platform. When God's people were in trouble, I helped them. I helped God who helped them. And now that I'm in trouble, nobody cares for me. No one, not even God, cares for me. Goodbye. He gave up everything. He gave up Christ, gave up everything. He gave up his full-time ministry. He now is in the world, the last I heard. When you serve the Lord, when you give your life and sacrifice, and if it is not motivated and constrained by the love of Christ, you will end up like him. And you think he is the exception? You'll be surprised to find out that he is most likely the rule, the norm. Why did some people leave truth, BP Church? Why are some people upset and angry with the leaders of the church? Why are they so disappointed? Walk in love. Never stop doing it. And the Apostle Paul here in these two verses gave us two very simple reasons. First, look at the Father. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You are a child of God. Let your heavenly Father be your example. Follow him. Don't follow the leaders. Only follow them as they follow Christ. But if you expect them not to make mistakes, you expect them to be perfect, you're not going to get it. Many people have been stumbled because of such expectation. That the leaders, the pastors, the elders, they're not supposed to stumble and fall. They're not supposed to lose their cool. They're not supposed to raise their voices. They're supposed to be what? Perfect? They're not. Follow the Father. Be ye therefore followers. The word follow there is imitate. Imitate God as beloved children of God. Part of the family. You're part of God's family, heavenly family. That's who you are. Even though you may be walking on earth, even though you may still be in this earthen vessel that can be dissolved. That's what the Bible says. Dissolved, die, turn to dust and ashes. Yes, you are right. But that does not mean that you are no longer a child of God. And that's why the Lord says, now are ye children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High God. The moment you are born again, right now. And as long as we do not remember this, we do not consciously hold on to this truth, we're going to behave like the world. And when we are kind, we expect people to be kind to us in return. And when they are not, we get angry and we stop being kind. And God says, you can't do that. When God loved us, you think we were already children? We were his enemies. We were not just his enemies, we were his chief of sinners, each and every one of us. When we bowed down to idols, and all of us did when we were growing up before salvation. You think that was a terrible sin? Bowing down to idols? Or is it a no big deal kind of a sin? It's not a criminal offense to bow down to idols. You know that, right? If the prison were to be filled with idolaters, then the whole world is actually a prison. Because everyone walking around out there before, beside children of God, they're all idolaters. You don't go to prison because of idolatry. You go to prison because of some of the fruits of idolatry in the past. Homosexuality was one of the fruits of idolatry. It was supposed to be a crime. Not anymore. Stealing, killing, all these are fruits of idolatry. And so the laws of man may select which fruits of idolatry they want to call it criminal. Other parts, it's okay, it's not criminal. Dishonoring mom and dad, it's not criminal. You don't put a person to prison for that, because if you do, all the schools will be empty. How do you think God loved us? You think we are lovely people? So when you want to do good deeds and do kindness and you put on all these wonderful, wonderful stitches of the garment of salvation that the Bible speaks of in the previous chapter, you do it to them because you are a child of God, full stop. Not because they deserve it. Not because they are kind people. Not because they are related to you. If you do all these things that are Christian because they are nice people, they are kind people, they are your children, they are related to you in one way or another, they have been nice to you before in the past, then it is not following God, your Father's, your Heavenly Father's example. Because God loved us when we were His terrible enemies, when we were soaked and covered in sin, when we never sought after Him, when our hearts were evil and wicked, and the Bible said, not just wicked, but desperately wicked. That was our state and condition when God loved us. And that's why God says, you follow, imitate. The word follow means imitate. Imitate God is the reason, is the basis. It's also the manner in which we should walk in love. He is our example. You know Him. You pray to Him. You call Him. You cry to Him. You sought His help. Have you not? I hope you know Him. Because you cannot imitate someone you do not know. This is not a superficial kind of outward imitation. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, telling us, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. That means salvation is the focus. So walking in love is not an option. It's one of the key evidence of a person who is born again, because it's as children of God. You have been made into children of God. You were not a child of God. You and I were an enemy of God. We were all enemies of God, and God saved us. We experience the joy of salvation, the forgiveness of our sin, the removal of the dominion of sin and the bondage of sin and the guilt of sin from our lives. All of us, as truly born-again children, we have this experience. And therefore, God is telling us that you are a beloved child of God. That's the word, dear. Beloved of God. And if that is true, then why is it so hard to walk in love? God has really equipped you. God has really made you into a lovely person from within. And now God asks you, will you want to let this love flow out externally as well in your relationship with others? This love is not just simply a warm feeling. This love is not some sentimental kind of love that you learn from the movies. You know, this, long time ago, they have this movie called Love Story. And they define love means never having to say you are sorry. I hope that is not your philosophy. That is rubbish. That is nonsense. That is the darkness, the prince of darkness philosophy. Love means never having to say you are sorry. That is nonsense. Love means the opposite. Love means you have always got to say sorry to the people that you hurt. Don't have to wait for them. you go to them and say, I am sorry for hurting you, deliberately or otherwise. Imitate God as His children. Wake up, look at yourself, see yourself as a child of God, and guarantee your life for that day will be different. You wake up, you see yourself as a person of the world, guarantee you will be like the world. You'll think about the events of the world, the entertainment of the world. All the things of the world will occupy your mind. You wake up and you see yourself as a child of God, you will look at others so differently. You look at your children differently. You look at your friends differently. You look at your enemies differently, because you are a child of God. And your behavior and your conduct guarantee will change. That's how you walk in love. Your Heavenly Father becomes your example, and you follow Him because you have tasted such a love in your heart and in your life the moment you become or you became a Christian. Have you not? Walk in love by following the Father. Second, walk in love by following the Lord Himself. That's what verse 2 says. As Christ also hath loved us. Also, right? Like the Father. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Right? That's the first example. God the Father. And then the second, the Lord Himself as well. As Christ also hath loved us. Same word, loved. Agape love. God the Father gave up His Son. And on the part of the Son Himself, He willingly, He did not bargain and argue. He did not talk to the Father and set some conditions. He just simply, readily, He just went. Also out of love, the Father loved us, sent His Son. The Son Himself loved us and sent Himself and gave Himself. Very often, we let a lot of obstacles stand in our way in our loving one another. And one of the biggest obstacles is jealousy or envy. As a result, your pride comes in. Do you agree if someone were to say to you that the firstborn child of the devil is envy? You know what envy can do to a person? It can destroy our love. Because when you are jealous of someone, you want everything in that person's life to tumble and fall into pieces. You want that person to fail. You want the person to get hurt. You want the person not to be blessed. Isn't that what envy will do to a person? When you do not follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be a sinner in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ, He loved us by coming down from heaven's glory to take on flesh and blood. When you love the other person, your pride, where are you asked to come down from? Don't let your culture stand in the way. Don't mix culture with biblical teaching. That's what we learned yesterday at church Bible study, right? Don't let culture, any part of the culture that is in line with God's word, by all means, comply. But any culture that is against the word of God, the culture must give way to the word of God. Our culture may teach us that parents never say sorry to children. Pastors never say sorry to members because we are the higher authority, as it were. people who are up there in CEO position, they must be seen as perfect. Even if they make mistakes, they don't say to the people at the bottom, I am sorry, I made a mistake. It's not done. That's culture. And pride is basically the key. And then envy of others, so many other transgressions that we commit. But you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He loved you. From heaven He came down. He walked among us. You look at us. How frail, how weak, how foolish we are. And He patiently, with so much long-suffering, led and guided the disciples. Time and time again, they were faithless because their faith was weak and small and frail. He was there for them. And Peter was sinking. He was not sinking when Jesus Christ was some distance away. Right in front, Jesus was there to reach forth His hand and lift him up. How many times the Lord Jesus Christ did that for us? Lift us up. Lift us up every time we were about to sink and we are about to be drowned by all the adversities, and He will be there to lift us up. And when others are drowning and others are making the same mistakes over and over again, how short is our forgiveness? How limited is our love? Are you prepared to do whatever it takes to help that brother, that sister come back to the Lord? If you are asked to swallow your pride, if you are asked to take the first step, the second step, and the third step, would you do it? Jesus did. He did. Do not be envious of others. Rejoice. When others are successful, truly, sincerely rejoice with them. When others are weeping and crying and sorrowing, you go by their side and you weep and sorrow with them. The world will do the opposite. But not our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And a person who walks in love will never be envious of others. He wants the best for others. Even if the others become better and better and better than him, he will help the person to even become much better than him. Because he loved. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants the best for that person in Christ. A person who may be your junior, who just joined the firm 5 years later than you. And then this person is more brilliant than you. And then he needs your help because he's still new to the company. And you know that by helping him, that person will easily, within 3 years, supersede you. May one day become your boss. Will you truly help that person? He's not 5 years your junior, but he is better, cleverer, smarter in every way than you are. Much more capable, much more skillful in whatever you and him are doing. Will you truly, sincerely help that person, knowing that by doing so, he will outstrip you? If you walk in love, no issue. Not even the slightest, sincerely. Because the person who loves, walks in love, he knows that he is in a company, not for any of these things. He is there to be a witness for Christ. And if I can be a better, holy witness for Christ by helping this person become better and better, and I know that he will become better than me, so be it. Isn't that how Jesus Christ loved us when we were his enemies? When we were sinners and depraved? When we were all bound for hell? And he gave his life, he sacrificed his life, his blood was shed to the very, very end of his life in order to save us. Is it too much to ask to walk in love for brothers and sisters in Christ? Even to those who are wolves in sheep's clothing in our midst, will you still love them with the same measure of love? In order to reach out to him, hopefully that even though he came in as a wolf in sheep's clothing, he may one day truly become a sheep in real sheep clothing, because he is now a sheep, no longer a wolf. He came in as one, but because of you, and the Lord used you to save such a sinner and turn him into a child of God, just as God turned Saul into his servant, his child. Can God not use us in such a manner? Because that's exactly what is required. Walk in love. That's why the Apostle Paul cited God the Father as example number one and God the Son as example number two. You and I have no excuse. He did not even use himself. He used God the Father and God the Son. And if you truly say that you are the child of God, why would you not want to follow your Heavenly Father? If you truly say that you are the disciple of Christ, why would you not want to follow your Lord and your Master in their love for you? You must. Because you are not a stranger to that kind of love, are you? Because you have experienced it in your soul. And God, therefore, is not asking you to walk in a love that you have not tasted. And how sweet and how good that love is in your heart and in your life. And God says, with this love, I want you to use it and spread it to others in all your relationship, so that you will remain always in my love and my care. No matter how they abuse you, no matter how they take advantage of you, no matter how they might slander you, no matter even how they might kill you, you will not stop loving them for Jesus' sake. And that is why the Lord says, He gave Himself for us as an offering. He gave Himself for us as a sacrifice, not to the devil. That's why the Bible, in this wonderful verse 2, sometimes people think that, well, God paid the penalty by sending Jesus Christ to redeem us from the devil. No. Not to the devil. It is to God. God's standard was set in Genesis 2 in the Garden of Eden. Anyone who sinned will surely die. Who said those words to Adam? Was it the devil? No, it was God. So when Adam sinned, who did he sin against? God. Not the devil. The devil was the tempter. The tempter was a sinner itself, himself, the serpent. The tempter was judged by God, just as Adam and Eve were both judged by God. In other words, God the Father sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to fulfill whose justice? God's justice. To redeem Him from who? From God Himself. God was the justice. God was the one that demanded payment, full payment for your sins and my sins. And Jesus Christ, the one that we sin against, became sin for us as payment for our sin. So Jesus Christ was not a third party bystander looking at us and God the Father. Jesus Christ was also seated on the same throne. He was also the one that we sin against. And He became sin for us. He became the sacrifice for us in order to redeem us, to be the sacrifice to God, God's standard. And He did it as a sweet-smelling savor sacrifice, which means God fully accepted it as sufficient. God accepted. That's what it means. By following the Father, by following the Son, first, by the way that He loved us, second, by the way that He gave Himself for us. And so is it too hard for us to give ourselves back to the Lord Jesus Christ by giving ourselves to each other? You know how wonderful Truth BP Church would be? When every member of Truth BP Church will learn to give of their lives to one another. They will give way to one another. They will not bicker, they will not fight, they will not quarrel, they will not squabble, they will not be envious. They just look after each other's spiritual well-being. And if you see your brother or sister cannot worship because the person is upset with you, you are prepared to do anything and whatever it takes so that that person can worship God again. And so you go to that person, please tell me, what do I need to do to restore your relationship with God? Because you're upset with me, you can't worship the Lord with that kind of feeling and your anger against me. I know that. And so you tell me. Tell me, what did I do wrong? If I say a word out of turn that I'm not aware of, you tell me. I will sincerely apologize. Because you know and you experience what's it like. If you're angry with another brother, how to worship, how to pray, how to sing? You can't. And because of this anger toward another person, your relationship with God is now so drastically, terribly affected. And therefore, you love that brother, that sister, enough and not to become the tool that stumbles. And so you go up to the person and you do your utmost. And if the person still refuses, there's nothing more you can do. But you have tried. You have done your best. Just like when the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed and gave his life. You think every sinner will, yay, thank God for Jesus Christ. You know how the world today still reject Christ. Just because you walk in love like God the Father, like God the Son, doesn't mean that the world will love you back in return. Just as they never loved God the Father and God the Son back in return. But that does not mean that they stop loving them. And God is now using you and me as he has saved us and left us behind to show them God's love in Christ. That's how important we are to walk in love. Pattern it after God the Father, God the Son, so that when they look at the way you love, when they look at the way you walk in love, they're supposed to see Christ as if Christ is now walking in your shoes, in your home, in your school, in your workplace, wherever you are. They're supposed to see Christ, and you are to be the Christ to them in that sense. That's why it's so important to walk in love. Your friends in school bully you, laugh at you, mock at you, talk behind your back, slander you, stab you. And what did you do in return? You love them. You be kind to them. You help them. You pray for them. No bitterness, only love in your heart. Same in the home. Some of you might have spouses that are not believers. They treat you badly because you are a Christian. And they stop you from becoming a good Christian by coming to church or reading God's word. Whatever it takes, you continue to love them. Don't let bitterness enter. And the only way to stop bitterness from entering is to fill your soul, fill your heart with love. And give no place for any evil or bitterness or sinful thoughts to creep in. Love is the key. Do you realize that? And you find it so hard to love, you think it was easy for God to love you and me in our state of sin, but he did it. That kind of love is strong. That kind of love is powerful. That kind of love enables us to love the smelliest of sinners. And God the Father did it. And you experienced it. You know it. You know this is not theory. You know this is real. Because as dear children, you have tasted this love. And God says, would you now also share this love with your brothers and sisters in Christ in Truth BP Church? I do not know how your relationships are with one another. I hope it has improved, because sometimes absence may make the heart grow fonder. You have not been allowed together for a long time, and now you have been allowed together for what, 6 weeks already? 6 weeks or so? Around there. I hope that whatever hurt or whatever pain, whatever misunderstanding, whatever differences you might have, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart will melt it, will dissolve it, so that all this misunderstanding will no longer be the barrier between you and another brother or a sister in Christ. That you can truly come to church and you can look at everyone in the same sanctuary with true, genuine, sincere love. No more anger, no more bitterness, all forgiven and washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that love truly has covered a multitude of sin that the people may have committed against you, just as you have committed against God the Father and God the Son, and how they have covered the multitude of sin that you have committed against them, God the Father, God the Son, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by their love for you. And you now do the same with others. And when you do that, you will never give up your witness for Christ in holiness. You will never stop serving. You will never stop worshiping. You will never stop praying. You will never stop reading the Bible. You know how rich and how wonderful that kind of walk with the Lord is. That nothing anyone can do can stop you from loving the Lord. We just had our Bible study last Wednesday, our last one, before the 1 month December break. And then we'll resume in January. And one of the topics that we studied was something like what we are studying this afternoon. You know, when a person gets upset and angry in the church, they say, I'm going to leave the church. Please understand that when you leave a church for another sound biblical church because you do not like the way this church is administered, that's fine. Because we know that we are different people, we have different personalities, we have different ways of administration. Some like to plan, some don't like to plan, and those who like to plan may find in the leadership, those who are not so much of a planner, you find this kind of management of the church, you don't like it, you may go to another sound biblical church where the pastor is more to your liking in terms of the administrative similarity, fine. But if you leave for some new evangelical, ecumenical church or charismatic church, please understand that you're not leaving from one church to another. You're leaving Christ for the devil. Please understand that. Please don't be so naive to think that all churches are the same. All churches are the same. They are not. There are more dead, false churches in the 21st century than in any century in the church history for the past 2,000 years. Please understand this. Why? Because this is the last day. The Bible says in the last days, Christianity will fall away, will turn apostate. And we are 2,000 years from the time when God gave us that prophecy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And therefore, we are truly in the last days. Please don't think that leaving the church means I will now stop calling myself a Christian. Yes, that is also leaving Christ. Stop calling yourself a Christian. Like the example that I shared with you, the theologian. Don't want to have anything more to do with Christ. A doctoral in theology. Ordained reverend. But that means leaving Christ as well. But if you leave a sound biblical church, like Truth BP Church, unless it has stopped its soundness, it's no longer biblical, it teaches nonsense, error, leave, by all means. I'll be the first one to leave. But if it is sound, and you are leaving because you are upset with another person, two things. Number one, why do you give so much power to the person over your life? That because of that person, you want to leave? Why do you want to give so much power to that person over your life? That what he says or what he does to you has so much power that you're going to leave? And then you're going to, second thing, go into an ecumenical church. Who are you trying to hurt? Are you trying to cut off your own nose to hurt that person? That is foolishness. Or you still may call yourself a Christian, but the fact that you are in an ecumenical church that is going to be part of the harlot church of the Antichrist, you're spending your time, your energy, your resources promoting the kingdom of the Antichrist. That is equivalent to leaving Christ, you know that, right? Even though you may call yourself a Christian. And it is so sad and so scary and tragic to see so many doing that. Not just, I'm not talking about Truth, I'm talking about other BP churches as well. Angry with the elder, angry with the pastor, angry with this member, and therefore, true, leave. But in the vicinity where they live in their country, in their city, there's no sound church. Either they don't go to church, which is a sin in itself, because there is a church that is sound and good nearby, they refuse to enter because of hurt pride. They never walked in love. A little bit of hurt pride, they get angry. A family left because they see their child as God. Why do I say that? Because when the Sunday school teachers gave feedback concerning their child's bad behavior, they got so angry and upset because they said, our child can never do wrong. Who can never do wrong? And for this negative feedback, we are leaving the church. And so they packed their bag and they left the church. Your child is God. All the Sunday school teacher did was to give feedback of the child's misbehavior. That's all. And they got angry. And they left. Where? There's no sound church in that city. Ecumenical. Either if they go to church, it will be an ecumenical one. And that's what happened. Don't do that. please don't be so naive to think that as long as I still call myself a Christian, any church I worship, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. Leaving Christ is more than just saying I'm not a Christian. There's so many ways that are so subtle and deadly that you have already left Christ by joining all these ecumenical churches, charismatic churches, promoting false doctrines, promoting the devil's work. And just because you call yourself a Christian, just because the gospel you share is similar to what is found in the Bible, you think that's okay? Cannot be so naive. Walk in love will protect you, because this love is never at the expense of truth. When you walk in love, you will overcome all adversities in your life. And you will stay on course in following the Lord Jesus Christ, because God the Father and God the Son, they are your examples in how to walk in love. And you have tasted how they walk in love toward you when they saved you, and how and what you were like when they first loved you. Enemies, idolater, all that the Bible described us in the Ten Commandments, we were the breaker of every single of the Ten Commandments. Covetous, liars, adulterers, murderers, dishonoring parents, bow down to idols, so many gods in our lives. And yet God says, I loved you and I gave my only begotten Son for you when you were in that state and condition. Can you not do the same toward one another by loving one another unconditionally and sacrificially, expecting not even a thank you? It's okay. And when they slander and hurt you, it's still okay. I will still love you with God's love and always in truth. When you are able to do that in your own life, your life will be rich, your life will be abundant and full. And guarantee Truth BB Church will truly be a church that is united, where people will walk in and they will think that they are walking into heaven. Isn't this what it's supposed to be? A home away from home? Because in heaven, everyone will be walking in love. Is that not true? Why can't it be true right here and now? Because we are all still children of God, are we not? And have you not tasted the sacrificial love of Christ for you in your life? Have you not been given the love of God in your heart by the Holy Spirit, who shed it into your heart at the point of your salvation? And just as Christ gave of his life as a sacrifice, is it too much to ask for you to give of your life as a sacrifice for others, for Jesus' sake? All that God the Father and God the Son did, God says, I want you to do here on earth. Because I know you're going to do the same thing in heaven. But I want you to do it here on earth, which is far more significant and more impactful. Will you do it for Jesus' sake? Truly, keep on walking in love. It's not a theory, it's not an impossibility. It is the norm, the normal. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, you know our heart. If we truly have experienced your love for each and every one of us in Christ Jesus, we acknowledge, O Lord, this commandment that you have given to us in verse 2 to walk in love is not an option. And you are not calling and demanding us to do something that you have not equipped us to do. But we truly have tasted your love for us, and also the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our heart. Teach us, O Lord, to use this same love that we have experienced and you have given to us in Christ Jesus to love one another, even our enemies. I pray, O Lord, that all who are members of Truth BB Church may truly practice walking in love toward one another, and may they begin at their own homes and then in church, and then in the world out there, as students and as those who are working. May this life of walking in love be the new normal for all of us as we live for the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days. Constrain us, O Lord, by this love for Thee, by loving one another, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.